and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thank you for joining us on the journey. It is the last Friday in July, and Roger, we are wrapping up a five-part series.
This has been a good study, I believe. I know I have enjoyed it, and I think we hope it's been very profitable. We've talking about part of God's church, the leadership. Sometimes we call them elders, or another expression that's found in the Bible is shepherding. And we've titled this series, Shepherding During a Crisis. And that's where we are right now in this world. Things are upside down and inside out, and things are being affected within local congregations. And so what we've talked about so far is that our first lesson was shepherding during a crisis. And we just gave some biblical passages to what shepherds need to be thinking about. Our second lesson was from the book of Proverbs, know well the condition of your flock, and how imperative it is that shepherds are in tune and aware of what's going on in the church, especially during a crisis. Our third lesson was from Psalms 23, the footprints of a shepherd, and what we learned from the Lord is my shepherd, and some great illustrations and passages there. Last week, we talked about the shepherd-sheep relationship and how there's a balance there. And there's some things that need to be learned from that as well. We have all of these saved, and they're all can be found on our website. And this would be good for shepherds to go through as a unit. It'd be great to have some Bible studies among yourselves and to talk about these things. Great for future elders to kind of go through these and to look at these things and consider some things along that line. Today, as we wrap this up, we want to talk about how the sheep can help the shepherd. So oftentimes when this discussion is mentioned and we talk about these topics, we look at the good and the help and the need that shepherds give to the sheep. And it's real easy to get this to be a one-directional relationship. The sheep are on the receiving end. The shepherds are the one who guide, watch, care, feed. They're doing all the work. And the sheep just kind of get back, and they just kind of just take it easy. But really, it's a dual relationship. And what we want to talk about are some of the blessings that the sheep can do for the shepherds. And so let's begin by looking at a series of passages. I'm going to just read these. And then Jason and I are going to kind of pull some layers off these verses and share some thoughts we have about this as we consider this. This is so important. And again, parallels to the home, how the children can help mom and dad, how the sheep can help the shepherd. Lots of things we can see there and learn from that. First verse we're going to look at is in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Again, these great admonitions that we see here about helping and having the right heart that God wants us to have. Second passage we want to share with you is in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias. Do nothing in the spirit of partiality. And then we go back to the book of John chapter 10, where we read about the good shepherd. There in verse 4 and verse 5, John chapter 10, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So, Jason, let's begin now. Let's talk about how the sheep can help the shepherds.
Yeah. I know you and I both have jotted down maybe a handful of practical things. The very first thing I wrote down that a sheep can do to help the shepherd is communicate. Communicate. These men cannot read your mind. When we think of this from the standpoint of just a physical sheep, if a wolf sneaks along and grabs a hold of a sheep by the leg, that sheep is going to immediately cry out in distress, right? But you and I have worked with churches long enough to know, tragically, at times, what will happen is someone has, you know, from the standpoint of their own soul or their marriage or the needs of their children, I mean, let's put it in graphic terms. Maybe it's as if they have suffered a spiritual gunshot wound, and here they are, they or their marriage is bleeding out, and only when that marriage is in the worst of intensive care on some sort of a respirator, do the shepherds discover, maybe from someone else, that things are in a dire situation. And if there had been communication, honestly, earlier, maybe something could have been saved.
You know, I like the analogy of a canoe going down a stream, and there's a waterfall, and here's this family in this canoe, and they see the waterfall, and they just keep drifting and drifting and drifting. Finally, when the boat is just about to go over the edge of the waterfall, they call for help, and sometimes it's too late.
Yeah.
Why didn't you call upstream? Why didn't you call when you first saw some difficulties going on? True of marriage is true of your spiritual journey. Maybe I'm not clicking on all cylinders. Maybe everyone around me seems to be growing and just so happy, but I'm not. Well, why don't you share that? Why don't you get help? You know, what? One of the problems we have in our society today, a lot of us men don't like going to the doctor. And sometimes it's the prodding of our wives that get us there. But, you know, we just say, you know, my arm feels numb. My arm, now my whole left side feels numb. I mean, we can keep going on like that until you just drop dead. Or we can say, well, I better go get something checked out. May have to have some tests. May have to have a surgery. It may be a little bit painful, but it can save my life.
Okay to have questions. Okay to be wrestling with doubts, right? But if you are, let's talk about it. Let's open the Bible and address those issues. It's okay to have questions as to perhaps why shepherds have made decisions that they have made on various judgment calls. I know our six men here at Charlestown Road well enough to know that if anyone had a question, those men would want the opportunity to answer why.
Years ago, one of the neighborhoods we were living in, it was the parents' worst fear. One of their children was missing. The police were called. All the neighbors, including myself, we went out and we were looking in our shrubs and we were hollering the kid's name, going blocks and blocks and blocks. And, I mean, the parents were becoming frantic. And finally, after a while, the little boy came out. He had been hiding underneath his bed.
The whole time.
The whole time. I don't think it was a good night for that boy after that. But the thing is, don't play hide and seek with the shepherds. Let them know what's going on in your life. Don't just say, hey, guess what? Next week I'm getting married. Well, who are you marrying?
Yeah.
Is this a godly choice you have made? Oh, by the way, this is my last Sunday here because I'm moving away. Well, is there a church where you're moving to? Have you thought those? They're there to help you get to heaven. But when we play hide and seek and we aren't communicating with them what's going on in our life, it's real hard for them to do their work. And that's part of how the sheep can help the shepherds.
Number one, communicate. Roger, what did you write down?
I wrote down also listen. I pulled that out of that John 10 passage where it talks about Jesus being a good shepherd. They know his voice. Well, that implies two things, that the shepherd is speaking, but also implies that the sheep are listening. And, you get the sheep, you just imagine a whole fenced-in place full of sheep, and there's one just happens to have headphones on, and the shepherds are calling the sheep, but this guy's not paying attention. Shepherd's going to warn us about things. Acts chapter 10 is going to talk about how they're going to warn about evil coming in the flock. They're going to warn you about things, but if I'm not listening, I'm not paying attention, I'm not in tune to what's going on, then danger's going to happen. My boat's going over the waterfall, and then at the very end, I'm going to crash.
We've tried to draw out in various ways throughout this study. Oftentimes, those men know more about what is going on than I think that I know, right? And there is a time, obviously, to communicate, to speak, but there is also a time to listen and to trust the lead of these men. I jotted down, be a team player, and that very much goes along with the idea of listening. There are going to be times as one part of something larger than myself. I'm a part of a body, a part of a family, a part of a team. There are going to be times that I don't get my way. Times that, based on what I know or what I think I'm aware of, that I would have made a different judgment call. And few things will begin to reveal the level of spiritual maturity in anybody, man or woman, when I don't get my way. I need to be willing to be a team player. We've talked a lot in this series about these men being out in the lead. And when something has disillusioned me or I haven't gotten my way, I'm going to have the opportunity to lend my mouth, my tongue, my heart to the one who is described in Scripture as the slanderer, the accuser, right? And that, of course, is not our Father in heaven. In no uncertain terms, we heard it in 1 Timothy chapter 5, as children of God, we don't lend our voices, our tongues to gossip, to slander, to backbiting. If these men are out front taking the lead, I shouldn't shoot them in the back, right? And that is fundamentally going to begin with being a team player.
And there's that teeter-totter balance, the cheap shots, the talking about them. That's the negative side of that. The positive side is I praise them, I honor them. I think of the statement of Isaiah when the Lord wanted somebody to fill in a gap. Here am I, send me. We need some help. Here am I. You can count on me. You can count on me to be there. You can count on me to support you. You can count on me to pray for you. You can count on me to defend you and be there. Again, nobody has their way all the time. Even the individual elder doesn't. It's a team effort as the eldership, as God has designed that. And so each elder also is a sheep, and he must also go under how the eldership makes these judgments. I don't want to meet at this hour. I like to sleep in to noon. Well, somebody, you got to decide something. Otherwise, it's just going to be me worshiping by myself. And that gets pretty lonely and that gets pretty discouraging. And so to be in a congregation necessitates that we have some give and take, that we are subject to one another. We are particularly subject to the leaders who have the heart of all of us. And I see things through my eyes only. They're looking at all these different components. And especially in the times we are right now, mask or no mask, all together or separate and apart. And all these decisions, this is crushing their hearts. This is hard on them. Satan loves for us to just kind of pick at each other and fight each other, and we forget who the enemy is. The enemy is Satan. We're supposed to be in the same team together.
Yeah. I'm a 41-year-old man, and I've got one way of looking at this. These men are looking at six-month-old babies all the way to single young ladies, all the way to people in their 80s, looking at the entire landscape. That's the role of a shepherd, right? And to your point, I don't need to be taking cheap shots. I don't need to be talking behind their back. I need to honor and obey and follow their lead. So we've said, number one, communicate. Number two, listen. Number three, be a team player. Roger, what else did you have?
We mentioned it, but I think this is a big one, and that's pray for them.
Yeah.
Pray for them by name. Lift their name up to God. They are doing incredible work. They are not perfect, as you and me are not perfect, but they're trying to do their best, and they need heaven's help, and to thank the Lord for them. Can you imagine being in the congregation, and there are no shepherds, and we're trying to navigate through this COVID-19 crisis? What a mess that would be. How angry everyone could be. But they keep a lid on things. They keep things peaceful and calm. And here's a sense of direction and openness. And so they need prayers. We need to be thankful for them. We need to help them have their strength and their energy, and pray that the Lord will bless them and bless their families. You know, most of these men also have jobs, and things are just in turmoil out there in the working world. And the things you're going through at home, the things you've been through, worshiping at home, working at home, school at home, they've been through the same thing. And they do this because they love you. And they love the Lord.
Yeah, there's not an enormous paycheck attached to this by any means, right? They are doing this out of devotion to the Lord and love for His church. Roger, the last thing that I jotted down was just walk with Jesus. You know, how much simpler this work would be for these men if the sheep were following the lead of the chief shepherd. Now, we know that the chief shepherd had to give his life because that wasn't a reality. We know that the chief shepherd has these under shepherds, if you will, because God's people need help, right? But I think this goes back to that Hebrews 13 passage that we talked about earlier in this study. We're called to obey our leaders, submit to them. We're reminded that they're keeping watch over our souls. And then there is this powerful second statement in that verse. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. Few things will make the heart of a shepherd ache more than a sheep who has just stopped walking with Jesus, which means the inverse of that is few things will make the heart of a shepherd just full of joy than watching sheep grow with Jesus. It's very similar to what John said in one of his little letters, right? I have great joy in my heart knowing that my children are walking in the truth. Yes, I need to be proactive in praying for these men and being an encouragement to them. But when the rubber meets the road, really, this is going to involve me being a faithful sheep to the chief shepherd, and nothing will thrill the heart of these men more than seeing me do that.
And what that's going to look like is me manifesting the right attitude.
Yeah.
Fussing in churches. I believe more people leave not because of what the Bible teaches, but because they bump and bruise and can't get along with fellow members. So when I follow that chief shepherd, I'm going to apologize when I've wronged. I'm going to forgive when someone has wronged me. I'm going to manifest that attitude. And when the elders see that, and they hear that, here's a couple families, and they're just not getting along. But the next thing you know, there they are. And they see smiles and hugs and love and all kinds of stuff. Man, they said, they're doing it right.
Yeah.
But it's manifested also in our behavior. Making the right choices with life decisions about jobs, where we're going to live, who we're going to marry, but simple little choices about social entertainment, movies, and what we're putting on Facebook, what we're liking, and things like that. They see you posting scriptures. They see you sharing the things a congregation is putting out. That thrills their heart. Here are members who are wanting these things to grow. But then they see the opposite. They see, why did this member like this? This is something that's full of bad words. Or here's someone that's dressed in modestly, and one of our members have liked that. Or here's a picture of one of our members dressed in modestly. Why are they doing, what's going on in their life? And so what thrills them is when we are doing what's right. It's the same thing as in the home. When the parent, without having to ask a child, the child just says, hey, you know, I've made my bed, I've cleaned my room up, and you think, wow, I didn't even ask you. How that thrills the heart of a parent. But then here's this child, and the parent has to do everything but beat him because he won't do anything. How disappointing and hard that makes things. It's the same thing with us. It's the life choices that we make.
Yeah. The way the Bible describes that is the metaphor of fruit, right? We've paid a lot of attention to some of the parables of Jesus, especially as they revolve around the shepherd and the sheep. Just as frequently you hear Jesus teaching parables about the bearing of fruit, you know, someone coming in and preparing a vineyard, getting out all of the weeds, digging out a trench, everything that is needed for success, right? And so much of what goes into the life of a healthy church. A church is like a vineyard, right? And these shepherds are watching over what is being taught, watching out for danger, making sure everything is prepared. But when they see you in your individual life bearing the fruit of the Spirit, man, their hearts are just full of joy.
And I think about the other parable in Luke 15 about the 99 sheep. There was 100 sheep and one was gone. And the shepherd left the 99 and went after the one lost sheep and brought him back on his shoulders, the love and compassion there. But what we often miss there is 99 were where they're supposed to be. 99 stayed. 99 is something that the shepherd could think, okay, these are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So I have to look at my life and say, which one of those am I? Am I one that the shepherd's always going to have to run down, chase down? Here's Radical Roger again. And where is he at now? Or am I with those who are doing what's right? And those are choices. Choices we make every day.
It's very similar to the calling in 1 Corinthians 15:58, right? My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You be that sort of a disciple, and you will be a source of joy and not groaning in the life of these men. Communicate, listen, be a team player. Pray for these men. Walk with Jesus. Roger, anything else you would add to that list?
Well, you know, when this is all said and done, someday we're going to stand before that throne of God.
Yeah.
And the Lord may just ask us, boy, you sure helped these guys out. I'm so proud of what you have done. I'm so pleased with what you have done. Or the Lord may ask us, why were you such a pain for these elders? These are my shepherds. These are the people that the Holy Spirit has appointed to lead my people. And why were you a problem? And that's going to be hard to answer, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We are specifically warned against grieving the Holy Spirit. And one guaranteed way to grieve the Holy Spirit is to be a source of grief to the Lord's church by God's design. If I'm a source of grief to the Lord, these men are by God's design called to step in. right? And I am going to be a source of grief to them. It is the exact opposite of what we are called to do and be as children of God. What a great discussion. Roger, I appreciate you joining in with me. And I would just remind, as you reminded there at the top of the episode, all five of these are freely available at charlestownroad.org or in the podcast feed, wherever it is that you subscribe to podcasts. Shepherding During a Crisis. Know well the condition of your flock. Footprints of the Shepherd, the Shepherd-Sheep Relationship, and How the Sheep Can Help the Shepherds. Coinciding with the release of this episode, we're just showing the entire series, and we'll have a graphic that advertises that on social media. If you think that this would be an encouragement to the shepherds in the life of your own church family, or, as Roger mentioned, maybe someone who would like eventually to serve in this capacity, but wants to know maybe some of the practical ins and outs, what's involved in this work of service. What a great resource to share. We would love for you to do that. Share with those you think could be impacted by this. Roger, thanks for joining me not only today, but throughout this series. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Lord willing, in August, Fridays in August, we'll shift gears. But in the meantime, we encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.